Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, Novo Ed is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, Novo Ed taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with Novo Ed to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Novo Ed Talks podcast, a space for training trailblazers to get real. My name is Melissa Fisk. I'm the producer of the Novo Ed Talks podcast. And today I am joined by Jeremy Fegert, who is the Senior Manager of Enterprise Learning at Baker Tilly. Jeremy has been at Baker Tilly since 2013. Prior to that, he worked at a nonprofit that ran programs for at-risk youth and moved over into the leadership development area at Baker Tilly in 2013. That being said, he's held a variety of different roles, including program manager. He's been in charge of digital learning. He's been in charge of industry and practice learning, but really found his passion diving back into the leadership development space where he is now. Jeremy attributes to staying grounded in his role to his wife, Elizabeth, and two-year-old son, Fitz, which I absolutely love. Jeremy, welcome to the Novo Ed Talks podcast.
Thank you very much. And I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, why don't you start by just kind of introducing yourself a bit more, talking about your role in the company?
Yeah. As you mentioned, I'm one of three senior managers that oversee our enterprise learning portfolio here at Baker Tilly. And that really dives into all professional and leadership development for team members from early career professionals through our principals. Baker Tilly is a top 10 advisory CPA firm. We provide a range of solutions to help our clients protect and enhance their value from tax and assurance to consulting and advisory projects. So everywhere in between.
That's awesome. Now, who are some of your learners and what are their biggest challenges?
Yeah, as I mentioned, we kind of in the enterprise, we serve everyone from early career to principals. So, as with many highly specialized professionals, we see two challenges that come up over and over again. First, on the technical side, it's their ability to keep up with the changing regulations and compliance in their business environment. So compliance is a big thing that we see. Thankfully for them, maybe I'm not in charge of that. But we have a dedicated team of professionals who keep them up to speed and moving forward on that. And probably not much a surprise on the career development side of things. It's how do they create space to gain the experiences and exposures and knowledge necessary to continue to grow as a professional and grow into leadership development positions that might not be, their first go-to as they kind of move up in the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. I can only imagine with CPAs and all the compliance and how that must change, like just keeping up with that is, yeah, I'm sure, a task in and of itself. And then trying to, better yourself and your role and everything and like balancing all of that is probably incredibly difficult. How do you kind of approach some of those challenges?
I think if the last few years have taught us anything, it's about finding that balance between traditional and digital learning solutions and experiences. There are certainly advantages to both, but in addressing that, we have to be really close with the business on defining their objectives and then kind of taking it from there and making sure that we are designing solutions that meet those objectives. Quite frankly, on the digital side, with our expanding capabilities, right? That really creates an environment where we can be more nimble, reach our growing audience, as we've really seen growth in the past 2 to 3 years, and provide, team members with more in the flow of work learning experiences. So again, keeping up with that rapidly changing environment, our digital experiences are key to that. And on the more traditional side, more traditional experiences, right? It's really the opportunity to create more robust connection points and connection experiences, and enhancing the engagement of our team members through our programs, right? So being able to dive deeper into content in those live experiences is key. And the second big challenge is, just the growing pains of a rapidly increasing size of organization, right? We really have to keep our eye on sustainability and scalability. I mentioned, I started here in 2013. At that time, I think we were about 1,500 employees. We're now reaching closer to 7,000 employees. So as we're thinking about what used to work, right? Everyone get in a classroom, everyone, get in the conference room, and we're going to work through this changing regulation, or we're going to connect the offices to do that. We have to be more, creative in how we're addressing that, because from an equity standpoint, we want to make sure all team members have access to those development opportunities.
Yeah, that is tremendous growth. Congratulations on that. Wow, what a challenge. I can only imagine.
Congratulations, yes, are in order, but it does provide some additional challenges to our team as we try to, I would say, break out of some of those paradigms that learning professionals get into sometimes about what's effective and what's right for a given challenge or development opportunity.
Sure, absolutely. And how are you kind of addressing, as we move to this more like digital world, how are you addressing the challenges of making sure that employees are equipped with the necessary skills for this new hybrid digital kind of
Yeah.
workspace?
Yeah. So I think in my time here, I'm very proud of, I think, the way the firm and our learning team adapted and adopted the pivot to a more digital workplace. Just to share where we were as an organization, as I said, we were a little smaller, but when our offices closed down, we had over 1,000 team members that were still operating on towered computers, did not have a laptop. So, we had to be very quick in order to kind of turn our organization into a more mobile organization. And it took a lot of people in enterprise technology, a lot of people in our people solutions function and our learning function to make that happen. I'm very grateful to say that the firm put a lot of resource and energy into making sure that that was successful. We had a robust ecosystem of resources, from how to work together, but also personal and mental health, offerings during that time that really help people adjust to the new environment. I will share, I'm a people person, so being behind the screen, when we used to talk about it during the pandemic a lot, like it was tough for those people who really were leaning in and wanting connection, and so we needed to find out how to do that more effectively. At this point, I think it's our job to kind of model what success looks like in this area. How do we stay connected and continue to push that further connection through digital collaboration? The firm has laid out a blueprint for how we work together. And it really allows teams to decide, hey, what really needs to be in person? What can be collaborative from a digital space? And we really empower our leaders to make those decisions for, their team, their people, and it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of bucket, which I think is great and has really helped us, I think, adjust back to where I would say some workplaces are like, hey, we're going back to in person. We've been able to be a little more flexible and make it work for our employees.
That's awesome. And I feel like so important. It's still, I think people are still kind of figuring it out. It's like we had to shift, you know, given the what was going on in the world, we had to shift to this. And now it's like people are trying to find what works best. And I think like taking that approach of like, hey, what's going to work best for our team though, and our people, and like what we do, you know, and finding that kind of like balance, like you're saying, I think is so important.
Yeah, and from the learning perspective, right, it does come back to who's the learner and what's the type of development we're trying to go after. Is it something that they can get in a 10-minute catch-up video? Is it something where they need to have a lot of practice and a lot of kind of time to develop that, and making sure that those kind of fit with what that objective is. And sometimes it goes very well, and sometimes it's a struggle. And I think we've all experienced that.
As I like to say, a learning experience. Not
Yeah.
it's, sometimes it goes well, sometimes it's a very good learning experience.
We all want it to be, but yes.
How does your team identify and address skills gaps within your organization currently?
It's a great question. We do a couple of things. It all starts with having a comprehensive evaluation methodology that's really aligned with our organizational goals, right? So it starts at that level. We're committed to, using data for good and using data to leverage, how and decisions we make about how we develop our people. Second, we have a strong collaboration with our business partners. We do a yearly refresh on, hey, what's going well? What are we aligned with? Where are we seeing those gaps? What are you seeing in the work? To just make sure that we are truly being consultants and business partners together, so that we're not the learning people up on high saying, well, here are the skills that we need to develop. So that's been really, I think, fun in the past couple of years to get, I think, deeper into that, and I think create better business relationships with our teams. And then
Yeah.
finally is the fun part, right? So we have a way of working in the learning space that really focuses on the ADDIE model and then on project management. And it enables our team to be nimble and kind of move in and out of projects in a more collaborative way to really address those skills gaps.
That's awesome. Do you have any type of, this is always a tough question for some, and you know, there's an ideal state for it, but how it works in reality is, you know, sometimes not always there. But do you have any kind of core KPIs that you measure, or are there other ways that you kind of measure the effectiveness of your programs?
Yeah, so again, it comes back to that evaluation strategy and making sure that that's really aligned with the business. So, hey, what are your goals? What are you going after? What are you really trying to solve for? And then how do we measure against that? Which, as you said, can be a tricky thing. How do you show ROI? How do you really dive into that? In some courses, it is that level one evaluation stuff, but we do get to some of our programs that have pre and post tests where we're able to show that movement and that behavior change over time, engaging leaders in also evaluating how a team member has improved or done that. And I think one of the more recent developments is we've created a dashboard to start tracking, I would say, more business results, those retention rates. Business development outcomes as a direct result of being in our program. So, for example, some of our programs are cohort-based. One of the resounding things we hear from those participants all the time is, hey, this really connected to me to parts of the firm that I might not be as familiar with. And so I had this opportunity come up or this question come up from a client. I was able to connect them to another person from my cohort, and we were able to bring that business in. So really being able to show that our programs are not only driving development and behavior change, but business outcomes that are helping us grow.
Yeah, which is awesome. And I love that example, because sometimes, you know, you get these like added benefits from these cohort type programs that you don't ne necessarily initially think of. And then you're like, oh, that's awesome. I'm glad to
Yeah,
see
I
that.
think
Sure.
One of the funny things for me is, and as a learning professional, it sometimes hurts to hear, but I get it, is, you know, we have this, these great programs. And when you say, well, what's the best part of the program? They're like, the connections I made with the other people. And I'm like, okay, none of the content that we walk through, none of the powerful experiences we had. So I take it with a grain of salt, but I do say it, you know, with love, because that is very powerful and it does help us kind of continue to move forward individually in their development, as well as a group. So,
yeah, absolutely. Do you have an example of a successful case study or an L&D initiative just as a whole that was super impactful and beneficial for the organization?
Yeah. So it is kind of the one that I was just somewhat referencing, but we have our EDGE program, which is a leadership development experience that consists of four live in-person sessions over a 12-month period. We take approximately 45 to 50 talented senior managers and directors from across the firm and put them through the program. It's really designed on providing a transformational experience, right? So trying to get to that deeper level of leadership engagement and accelerate their career development. We've been very impressed with the metrics that have come out of that in terms of our retention rate, our promotion rate to higher levels of leadership. And now, as I mentioned, we're reaping the benefits of those connections through actual dollars that are coming through the door by these groups being empowered and engaged to get out there and to lead the firm. I'm very proud of that. That's actually the program I was brought in to manage in 2013. And so to see how it's grown and changed and adapted and to see the business results and outputs is incredible. You know, I get to interact with those people on a somewhat regular basis. And, you know, from the anecdotal side of things, right, a lot of them talk about how transformative it was for their career and really helped them define where they wanted to go and what they wanted to their end game or their career progression to look like. So it's something we're all on the, you know, everyone on the learning team in particular is very proud of that program and the success that we've seen.
That's awesome. And congratulations to you. That's no easy feat. So that's huge for you guys. And I'm sure that feels amazing to be part of that and get, I love the anecdotal stories. Like when you're part of something like that, because you're just like, that's so awesome. Like, you know, the business is like moving forward and that's so great, but like that you also felt so empowered in your career to kind of like go and do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. And we have team members, right, that are sharing those experiences in teams. So I would say even 10 years ago where you just kind of like send everyone off on their own paths and, you know, they have, you know, the cohort channels internally. And so, hey, we're dealing with this and who's got some ability to help me? Where can I kind of direct this client to? And also the positives of, you know, new kids and new opportunities and promotions and things like that. It's been great to see.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, technology is a huge part of kind of everyone's L&D programs now, especially after all the changes in the past several years. But what role does technology play in your L&D programs? And are there specific tools or platforms that you guys really rely on to kind of enhance your experiences for employees?
As you mentioned, it's a new ball game. And as I mentioned, one of our key I think roles moving forward is being the people out front who are engaging with the new technology and platforms and modeling for our team members, how do we use this effectively? So they do take a critical role here, at Baker Tilly. So I mentioned I used to lead digital learning. Thankfully, I quickly realized that was way over my head and my skill level. We hired a very wonderful person to come in and do that, who is way more skilled at that than I am. I mentioned I was at ground zero where we were just talking about having a digital course or two out there to, having a user experience platform where we're recommending courses and we're helping people really discover their career path. using external digital course platforms to, expand the library of offerings that we have. Because, right, we're often a smaller team. To be able to provide quality content and experiences to that many team members, it just isn't feasible. So, really leaning into those digital tools, in addition to any content that we're developing internally, is kind of key to our strategy as we move forward. I'm amazed at the number of simulations and AI-driven experiences that we've been able to deliver, even in the last 18 months. We're bringing on an AI coaching tool, and we're looking at that too. And that has been kind of incredible to see in action, and we're excited to get that in front of people because, again, it's about the quality of experience and the idea that you can, put somebody through an hour of content or an hour of experience, and then just send them on their way, and they're not going to, lose some of the information, or we're adding the ability for them to practice on the back end. I mean, it makes our jobs a lot easier and a lot more fulfilling because we're actually then seeing the behavior change and the development that's intended.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of folks on this podcast talk about different AI programs, of course, and even like some VR type technology that they're using for like creating simulations and things like that, and just like helping with that like extra coaching, which like everyone's kind of had the same response to that. Obviously, there's still a lot that has to go into it and everything, but a lot of like positive feedback, I feel like, from folks saying the same types of things.
For sure.
As we look back, about the industry kind of like in general over the past 5 years, what are some key takeaways that you've seen as things have obviously very rapidly evolved?
So I think the first thing is that what I've noticed is people still continue to struggle with change and change management. One of the ahas for me is, how do we reframe that? Change is not going away. Change is the constant. And kind of continuing to remind people that is the lens we need to kind of use, and it helps us kind of unbuckle from maybe some of those anxieties or those fears about change. I think having a more adaptable mentality moving forward is going to be key to success as people want to develop as leaders and employees of in the future. Two, people still crave connection. Connection to work, connection to one another, connection to a purpose. The old, find your why, is still very important to people. And so, how do we balance that? I talked about the balance between digital and traditional experiences, but how do we continue to be intentional about when and where we bring people together and really supercharge those connections so that we can unlock people's ability to feel psychologically safe and ready to do their best and be their best here at Baker Tilly. So, and the final thing I thought of is just something that might be a little contradictory to my first point, but I think we need to, as learning professionals, need to be focused on the value we can provide to our team members in keeping it simple. Kind of staying foundational in some things and not chasing every trend that kind of comes out, to be selective, that we're really there to help them develop, to be better people, to be better teammates, to be better builders and leaders of our business. And so staying true and having a point of view on that stuff, I think helps center us as experts in our field. And kind of helps people navigate the murkiness of the world sometimes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that those two, your points one and three, also like can go in hand. Like, yes, you have to have this mentality where you have to be able to adapt to what's gonna come and like help and like navigate that. But if you do what you say in your last point there and like keep it simple and keep it like down to the basics and have those like kind of core principles guiding you, it makes it a little bit easier to kind of like navigate the change and everything. It's like, okay, well, is this going to like stay true to us? We could still do something completely different, but like, is it still kind of like true to these principles or foundational things? So I actually love all of that. And then, looking forward as the workplace kind of continues to evolve, maybe looking at the next 5 years to come, what trends or kind of emerging technologies even do you see really shaping the future of L&D?
A couple things. I think I mentioned the strategy collaboration with our business, and I think that is going to continue to be a key driver towards continuing to make us keep us relevant and in alignment with what the business needs from our people and how we can help them be successful. They're often great at making the observations about what they're seeing, but we need to make that linkage to, okay, what solutions can we offer you to solve that problem or solve that that issue. I think like the stereotypical is somebody comes and says, well, we have a communication problem. Okay, what does that mean? And you start digging in, and it could be one of 10 different things. And if we're solving the symptom and not the cause, we're not getting any better results, and our business leaders are then frustrated that we wasted time and energy and resources on something that didn't correct what it is. So I think that collaboration is going to be key moving forward. The second is moving towards being true learning consultants or learning guides, as as I try to put it into my own language. But with all of the tools and platforms and AI and courses and opportunities coming our way for our team members or that are available to our team members, we really need to be kind of sifting through and finding the meaningful experiences and synthesizing those for team members. We have a real opportunity to move from just being up front and out front of the classroom to being more of a counselor or more of a coach. And really help shape that team member's journey. And that's something that I myself, as a learning professional, are very excited about because, being up in front of the classroom, I think has a life cycle. I think, you get that experience and it's great, but I really find joy in helping people to, discover that career journey and helping them along the way. So that's a second, I think, major shift that I see. And I think that final one goes back to that being a risk taker and an early adopter. We have to be willing to kind of take those risks and help our leaders stay in that growth mindset that we have to be open to adopting new ways of working, new ways of connecting, new ways of learning. I share with my with the people that I facilitate with, and there is I finished my basement during the pandemic, and I did it completely by watching YouTube videos. Now, for those of you out there, it has been inspected. It is safe, but I didn't go to school. I didn't do these things, but I basically sought out the resources I needed to be successful, synthesize those down, and put those directly into action. And so we have to be open to the different ways of thinking about development. All the while, AI is looming. So how do we dive into that? And you mentioned, everyone's talking about using it for coaching. And I think it is a wonderful development to use AI to help people practice in the safety of their own space because it is uncomfortable. When you're in front of a classroom and you say, okay, guess what we're going to do? Role plays. Everyone knows the reaction you get when you say role play. But I think having this personal assistant there to help guide you and provide you feedback it does give people some safety to practice, which is what they need to really develop that competence for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Jeremy, I feel like you're going to answer this question so well with such great advice, but just given your career journey. But what advice would you give those just stepping into a leadership role?
Again, it comes back to something that we tell our professionals. It's a new role. Take the time to invest in yourself. You're not supposed to be an expert in it right away. Sharpen your EQ and AQ. Get good at those things and knowing your strengths and your areas, your challenges. I think people who are open and transparent about those things have a greater probability of being successful. But it's new for a lot of people who are stepping into leadership roles. Take time to invest. It's not something that, you just automatically have. So that's the biggest piece of advice. And then the second thing is just getting comfortable with taking responsibility. I think a large part of being a great leader is being accountable for your decisions, the good and the bad. And I think if you're accountable, if you're willing to take that, that responsibility, it helps to do all the other things, build psychological safety, enhance engagement of your team members, allow others to take risks and mistakes, because right in this innovative mindset that we all need to be in moving forward, we need to be okay with failure sometimes. We need to be okay with that ability to take a swing. And that not everything has to be perfect. I believe, leaders who take that responsibility and are willing to be accountable, that allows the people around them to do that and be at their best at all times. So,
Absolutely. I love that. Accountability is a big one, and that's something I'm trying to currently teach to my kids a little bit. So I feel like it's a lesson that we have to keep learning throughout our entire lives. So it's a great send off.
Teaching a 2-year-old how to be accountable for not tossing his kitchen food across the table. It's a learning experience all the time.
Absolutely. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us on the NovaWed Talks podcast today. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode.